Today's text occurs very early on in the reign of King David. Very early on in the reign of King David, and not too long after the death of King Saul. Now, as you can imagine, this was a challenging time for God's people, and it was a challenging time for young David. David was a man beset on all sides. There are many who were loyal to Saul who were not so loyal to David. He had to deal with in-house difficulties. He also had many foreign enemies. Now, today's passage, it's going to be the Philistines. They're going to be out for his blood, and they're going to be searching for David. The Philistines are going to be looking for him in order to kill him. So what is David going to do about it? How is David going to respond? Is David going to freak out? Is David going to have great anxiety? Is he going to wring his hands over the threat of his enemies? When David's circumstances are dark, like many of our circumstances are dark at different times, what is the response of David's heart going to be? Well, what we're going to see in this morning's text is that when danger came on the horizon, when things came in front of David that he did not want, when enemies came, when circumstances grew cloudy, when the ground shook beneath David's feet, the first thing he did was inquire. Inquire of the Lord. And ask God and say, God, what's going on? And what do you want me to do about it? We're going to see this in 2 Samuel, beginning of verse 17. When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David. But David heard of it and went down to the stronghold. Now the Philistines had come and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord. He said, shall I go up against the Philistines, and will you give them into my hand? And the Lord said to David, go up, for I will certainly give the Philistines into your hand. And so David came to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there. And he said, the Lord has burst through my enemies before me like a bursting flood. Therefore, the name of this place is called Baal Perazim. And the Philistines left their idols there, and David and his men carried them away. And the Philistines came up yet again. They came up yet again and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, you shall not go up. Go round to their rear and come against them opposite the balsam trees. And when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the balsam trees, then rouse yourself, for then the Lord has gone out before you to strike down the army of the Philistines. And David did as the Lord commanded him. And he struck down the Philistines from Geba to Gezer. You know, as Christians, we believe that God's in charge. And we have a fancy doctrine for this. What's the word? If we say God's in charge, he's in control. We say God is sovereign. That's right. Sovereign. He's in charge. Now, in a Presbyterian Reformed setting, this is a doctrine we know, but it's a doctrine that we can often forget in our day-to-day lives. In practice, this idea that God's in control, that God is sovereign, can be an afterthought. When we face opportunities or challenges, what we tend to do is not think, good, God's on the throne. We tend to think, do I have the strength to deal with this issue on my own? We assess anything that comes before us, opportunities, challenges, whatever it might be, through the filter of our own strength. We look at something, and if we have the ability to affect or control it, then we're confident. If we don't have the ability to affect or control it, we freak out. At least that's a general tendency. And too often we freak out in such a way that we forget that there's one bigger than us who is on our side. In other words, we say so often that God's in charge. We acknowledge that as Presbyterians this morning. We say God is sovereign. But this week, when things come up on our radar, opportunities and challenges, some of which are maybe exceedingly daunting, we tend to see these things through the lens of what we can do about them, not as much what God can do, and that's our mistake. When you're facing a problem, whether it's a health problem, a financial problem, a relational problem, a vocational problem perhaps, culture tells you to dig deep. Why? Because there's a warrior within you. Scripture ever tell you to dig deep and bring out your best self now? No. Scripture tells you, turn to one that is bigger than you. Because goodness knows your obstacles are bigger than you. We don't always do this. We're silly. We filter life, we filter what we face through the lens of our own strength. This is wrong because our strength is like this. When King David faced the Philistines in this morning's reading from 2 Samuel, he was not strong enough and he did not have the vision to survive the encounter that he was about to have. If David tried to take on the Philistines based on his limited strength and the limited field of vision that he had, he would have failed. He would have failed and his people would have failed with him. So what did David do instead? When the Philistines came looking for him, when he hears that they're searching for him, what does he do? When you face trials, temptations, what do? Well, this morning's text, we're going to see that what we're all called to do is to inquire of God, to bring our problems before him. Let that be our first instinct, not our fifth or sixth option. Let that be our first instinct. We bring our problems to God, we ask for God's help, and then we trust in God's power to do that which we can't. All right, if you would, let's look now, verses 17 through 19 of our text, and then we'll just work our way through it. Now, when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king of Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David. This was a huge number. We don't know how many, but all of them is what we read here. At least all the men, or at least all the warriors went searching for David. And David heard of it, and he went down to the stronghold. Now, the Philistines also went and deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And so David, and this is the first moment where we really see what he's going to do about this problem. So David inquired of the Lord. And he said, shall I go up against the Philistines? Shall I go up against the Philistines? And if I do, will you deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said to David, go up. Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into your hand. All right, as verse 17 begins, as this passage begins that we're looking at this morning, we read that David's just been anointed king of Israel. And once the Philistines heard this news, they go looking for him. See, Israel and the Philistines, you don't have to look too far in the Old Testament to figure out these two nations did not like each other. The Philistines and the Israelites were regularly at odds. They're regularly at loggerheads. Look in the book of Judges. You can look in the books of Samuel. You can look in the books of the Kings. You see the Philistines and the Israelites were regularly at odds. With that said, the Philistines had been the ones who, not too much earlier, had defeated the previous king, King Saul. It was the Philistines who had defeated King Saul and who now had their eyes set on defeating his successor, King David. Now, the Philistines, if you've read anything about them, you know this. They were not slouches in the art of war. The Philistines knew how to do their business when it came to going after their enemies. The Philistines were not slouches in the art of war. And to have the Philistines looking to kill you, it wasn't probably the most surprising development, but it certainly wasn't the most promising one either. It did not bode well for those that the Philistines were looking for. So David hears this. He hears that the people who managed to take out his predecessor were now looking for him, searching for him, coming for his head. Now, at that point, it would have been totally understandable, especially given David's relative youth and inexperience. It would have been totally understandable if David had just freaked out at the prospect that his head was sought by an enemy so formidable. It would have been understandable if he had freaked out. You know why it would have been understandable? Because his predecessor had freaked out when the Philistines came looking for him. That is the story of King Saul. 1 Samuel 28 tells us this about Saul's last days. It says that then the Philistines gathered together and came and encamped at Shunem. And so Saul gathered Israel together and they encamped at Gilboa. Now when Saul saw the army of the Philistines, he was afraid and his heart trembled greatly. This is the legacy of King Saul. When the Philistines, when his mortal enemy came looking for him, he took one look at the enemy and his heart trembled greatly. When the Philistines, when a dark cloud showed up at his door, his heart trembled. He was so scared at the prospect of what was to come, he sought all manner of divination as to what he should do, as Andre read for us this morning, one of the things Saul did is he sought out a witch. Saul was so freaked out at the prospect of facing the Philistines, he sent out the witch at Endor in order to seek counsel and to seek advice. And that's a wonderful sermon for another day. But what we see is that Saul freaked out when trouble came before him. When his circumstances grew dark, he didn't know how to respond. He did all manner of things, some flat out crazy, like going to witches. That was Saul's response when the ground shook beneath his feet. Now, when faced with the exact same circumstances, the Philistine army coming to get you, when faced with the exact same circumstances, the advance of the Philistines, how did David respond? Well, in verse 19, it appears that the first thing he does is he does not tremble in fear. The first thing he does is he inquires of God. He tells God what God already knows. The Philistines are coming. He says, God, what should I do about this? Would you have me go up against them? If I do, are you going to deliver them into my hand? Because he didn't know what was right around the corner, because his vision was limited, he sought out counsel from one whose vision is perfect. He inquired of the Lord. When you face circumstances this week, when you have things before you that are challenging and troubling, is that your first instinct? Or again, is it the fifth and sixth option? Is it something you do when all the other options aren't panning out? Is inquiring of God the first thing you do when you have trouble? If not, why not? Given who he is and what his power is to affect change in your life, why would he ever be the fifth or sixth option? Well, in David's case, it certainly was not. It was the first option. In verse 19, he brought his problems to God. David inquired of the Lord. David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up against the Philistines, and will you deliver them into my hand?" In other words, what should I do? David did not freak out. He took the matter to the Lord in prayer. Now, you have plans for next week and next month and next year. You have plans for the future, plans for your family, plans for the job, plans to retire, whatever it might be. Have you brought those plans before God, or is your intent to do what's on your own heart and then to retroactively ask God to bless what you've already decided to do? I tell you with certainty that last thing is exactly the route most of us take. Most of the time what we do, we see an issue, we act, we look over our spiritual shoulders, and we ask God to validate the decisions that we've already made. How often do we take the decision-making process from the outset and put it at his door? How often do we make our plans by first inquiring of him, what should my plan be? As you look at the retirement, as you look at health issues, as you look at job issues and relocation issues and all the different things that might be before you, do you take what's on your heart and just lay it before God and go over the options with him and ask for input? That's what David does here. Lord, should I go up against the Philistines? Seems like a pretty basic issue, but in a microcosm, that's the sort of question we should all be asking of God. When we fail to do so, we fail to recall that he's God, and he has the ability to look after us in whatever decision that we make. So why not entreat him at the outset of the decision-making process and not after it's all done? Not ask him just to bless what we already decided to do. If David had followed the approach of asking God to bless his own decisions after he decided to do them, if he decided to do that in verse 19, he'd probably be dead by verse 20. If David had not asked for God's input or his assistance, it's possible that he wouldn't have got him. If David had not asked for God's input about what to do and for God's assistance in seeing it through, it's possible that God would not have granted him that assistance. That is the legacy of King Saul, who the Philistines overcame, who went to witches. That is the legacy of King Saul, but it's not the legacy of David. David asks God what he should do. And guess what? God tells him. Now, he tells him with a clarity that you and I might not receive on the issues that are right before us. He told David with amazing clarity exactly what to do. For you and I, more often than not, the way he will tell us is he'll tell us by principle. You may have an issue before you. You don't know what to do. It's coming up. Something's coming down the pike. You don't know what to do. Well, there's three principal ways God's going to lead you. The first one is going to lead you through his word. Open His Word. His Word will not tell you, you know, who you should marry or when you should retire or what have you. But it will give you principles that will enable you to understand every issue that is in your life. You'll be able to filter the decision that you have to make through the principles that you find in the book. So God teaches us and leads us through His Word. God will also lead us through His Spirit. If you bring an issue before God, and most of us, especially those of us who walked with God for some manner of time, can attest, when you pray about something before God and you don't know what to do, oftentimes you will get a peace about a specific decision. You'll know what you need to do. God will speak to you through His Spirit, and you'll know right from wrong and left from right, and you'll act accordingly. God will lead you through His Word and give you principles and how to make the decisions. He'll lead you through His Spirit and just imposing upon your spirit His desire for you and the decision that's ahead. Now, thirdly, God will also lead us through providence. God will lead us through providence. We've all heard the saying that, you know, God opens doors and shuts doors and so forth. Well, there's truth in that. God will lead us through providence. Whatever you're facing in the time ahead, oftentimes God will direct you simply by putting milestones before you or walls if need be. He will not let you just flounder. He will direct you. And He will use providence and circumstances as the means by which He does that. Now, encompassed in providence, He will also have people speak into your life. Sometimes there's godly friends and neighbors and relatives and coworkers or people in church who will say something to you that while it's not divine scripture, it is God's intent for your life because He has sent a godly messenger in your life to tell you something you need to hear. The point is God won't leave you floundering. If you inquire, this is not just trial balloons, you float up to heaven and just hope something happens. God says, I will respond. I do hear and I do care. Let's look now at verses 20 and 21. Verse 20. So David went to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there. And he said, the Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breakthrough of water. Therefore he called the name of that place Baal Perazim. And they left their idols there. And David and his men carried them away. All right, in verse 20, we see that David not only asks God what he should do, but guess what? When God speaks, David does what God said. Now, that sounds like it should be intuitive. For many of us, it's not. How many of us can say that our whole lives are patterned after what we find in this book? David heard what God said. David heard what God said, and he responded. And so it went well with him. David heard what he needed to do. He followed God's instructions. He went up and marched upon the Philistines. That can't have been an easy thing to do, given the size and the ferocity of the enemy. And he defeated them there. With that said, he's quick to note that the victory was not his own. But rather, this victory belongs to God. In verse 20, he declares that the Lord has broken through my enemies before me. So in other words, he says, God, I have a problem. The Philistines are tough. They are angry. Their spears are sharp. They want my head on the tip of that spear. God, what should I do? God tells him what to do, and it probably sounded pretty daunting, but he goes and does it anyway. Just like when he was younger, he went and took on Goliath. He understood what it means to trust God. And so he acts accordingly. And what he finds is that God goes before him. God doesn't just tell us what to do and send us off to go do it. God is with us. God is before us. He's opening up doors we even didn't even know were there. God went before David. God broke through the enemies. Like water through sand, God broke through the enemies. You know, the world's biggest, strongest man, Goliath, was once toppled by a shepherd's stone. The world's largest walls in Jericho once came down to the sound of a trumpet. What that should tell us is that the battle is not always to the strong. The battle is to the one who wisely enlists God on his side. If you do not enlist God on your side in what you're facing this week, you are foolish. Why? Because of who he is. And the power and the clout and the might and the love and the grace that he has in helping you with what you're going to encounter. God goes before us. He's not in our rearview mirror cleaning up after our messes and maybe retroactively blessing our choices. You don't want him in your rearview mirror. You want him before you. This is his rightful place. You know, in all likelihood, the Philistines were tougher and more numerous than David's men, but David did not go out with just swords and spears. He went out with the living God on his side. Unlike King Saul before him, David leaned wholly on his God. And guess what? God validated that faith. God validated that faith by breaking through David's enemies, like water rushing through sand. And when God was done, not only were the Philistines destroyed, but the Philistines' gods, the idols, the images, the things that the Philistines worshipped, they had just discarded, they had left behind, and David and his troops carried them off. Bounty, in order to be destroyed undoubtedly. But the point is that David and his men trusted in God. The Philistines trusted in a pile of gold. It did them no good. Now, with that said, the Philistines, as you see throughout the Old Testament, they were a pretty hard-headed bunch. They didn't learn lessons really readily, and they didn't learn the lesson here. And so we're going to see what happens next. Let's look at verses 22 through 25. Then the Philistines went up once again. So they didn't learn. They tried this again. They deployed themselves in the Valley of Rephaim. Therefore, David inquired of the Lord. And he said, meaning God said, you shall not go up. So he gives them a little bit of a different input here. You shall not go up, but circle around behind them and come upon them in front of the mulberry trees. And it shall be when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees. What does that tell you is going on if there's a sound of marching coming up from up above you? When you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, then you shall advance quickly. For then the Lord will go out before you to strike the camp of the Philistines. When you hear the sound of an army and it's coming, you don't know where it's coming from. It sounds like it's coming from up above, like a rushing of wind through the trees. You stand up, get ready to fight, because God is going out ahead of you and he's going to strike the camp of the Philistines. Remember what we said. God is not content just to give you good input or good advice and to send you on your way. What does he do? He goes with you. He goes in front of you to help you deal with the issues that you're going to face. That's what we see here in this text. So once again, danger rose against David. The Philistines tried again, another attack in the Valley of Rephaim. They must have thought maybe David got lucky the first time, and so they doubled down on their initial bet and they try once again. What did David do? In response, his very first response, he inquires of the Lord. Both times. It's not an accident. It's not a coincidence. Both times, when his enemy rose, when trouble came, when his circumstances grew dark, when he didn't know exactly what to do, he doesn't try to figure out what to do apart from God. He inquires of the Lord. He took the problem to God in prayer in verse 23. And in response, God tells him exactly what to do. And God promises that he is going to go out before David and personally strike the camp of the Philistines. What God says will happen, he makes sure happens. Now, verse 25 describes what happened next in the Philistines' defeat. It says that David did what God told him to do, and that God drove the Philistines all the way to Gezer. Now, with that said, let me ask you, I guess, a real important question as we look at this. What do you think would have happened if David had had the wisdom to ask God for God's input, but he did not have the wisdom to pay attention to that input and act accordingly? What if David had listened to what God had said, but then done something different? Said, all right, God says I should do this. I think I'm going to do this. What do you think would have happened? Well, if you want to know what would have happened, read up on King Saul. Because King Saul was the kind of guy that did exactly that. King Saul is the kind of guy who gets all sorts of good and godly input, who had prophets, he had Samuel speaking to him. But what Saul would do is he'd hear God's word. It wasn't a lack of getting godly input, he just wouldn't take it. At least not all the time. Saul had a history of going his own way, of doing some of what God said and some of what he wanted. And routinely, God responded to that by letting Saul face the consequences of his own decisions. In other words, God looked at Saul, and it was certainly clear at the end of Saul's life, God looked at Saul and said, all right, I've told you what you need to do. You just don't want to do it. You think your way is better than my way. Now that's the root of every sin. That's the root of every rebellion. God gave Saul over to what Saul wanted, and Saul perished. You know, in the same way, sometimes you and I hear God's words, but because we might not always like God's word, or because sometimes we think we know better, we don't always do everything he said. Sometimes we have the wisdom to acquire of God. We come to church, participate in a Bible study. We do devotions. But oftentimes, we're not really willing to yield to what God tells us in his word. Or we think it applies to somebody else. Sometimes we pull a King Saul. We pull a King Saul and we ignore the things God has told us that we don't like. Or we think that we know better than he does in a specific issue, and we dismiss or forget or ignore his guidance to us. You know, the first step you have to have today in whatever you're facing is to ask God. Lay it before him. Whatever's on your plate that is of concern to you, bring it to him. And then ask him, God, what should I do? But when he tells you, through the various means we talked about, when he tells you what you should do, if you fail to respond and do what he said, you might as well not even have asked him in the first place. What's the point in having a good and powerful and almighty God who's willing to convey his will to you? What's good in having that on your side if you don't take advantage of it? It's one thing to ask God for direction and help, but it's another thing to follow those directions when you get them. How are you doing on that front? If David had rejected God's instructions once he asked what they would be, disaster would have followed. And you know what? It's exactly what happened to David years later with regard to Bathsheba. But in today's passage, David brought his concern about the Philistines before God. And then he did what God told him to do. There should be unity in this. And there isn't always. And as a result of God telling what to do and David responding, God went ahead of him. He validated David's faith. He drove out the Philistines. This week, let me look to wrap up with a few final thoughts here. This week, you don't have actual Philistines coming your way. If you do, I guess we need to talk. You got some troubles I don't know about. But you don't have actual Philistines coming your way. But you got something else. You got some other problem. And that problem is probably pretty scary. And if that's not your case this week, just wait a week. We live in a fallen world. Stuff happens. Stuff is going to come up on our radar. Now, I don't know what unique circumstances or challenges that you're facing, but they do have the ability to hurt you, possibly even destroy you. Now, should you try to face those things on your own? I hope after looking at this text or looking at any text in Scripture, you say, no, I shouldn't face this stuff on my own. When the Philistines come knocking, I'm not going to rely on my own metal and my own vision, because I know those things are limited and I know he's infinite. Common sense. Now, I trust that you have that view. Presuming that you're willing to turn to God, presuming that you're willing to ask God, presuming that you're willing to inquire to God, again, the next question is, are you willing to do what he tells you to do? For some of us, that's where the struggle is. For some of us, the problem is not that we're unwilling to pray and we're unwilling to come to church and so forth. The problem is that there's something that God has put upon our conscience, upon our heart, that we're supposed to do, and we just don't want to. And we're dragging our feet. If there's something God has told you in manifest ways that you are called to do, why are you not doing it? On a personal level, I was called to ministry before I ever began pursuing ministry. I was called to ministry in such a way that it was clear to me. However, I looked to have a bifurcated life that dabbled in the start of seminary and so forth, but I wasn't really wholeheartedly sold on it for a variety of reasons. God disabused me of those reasons in short order. The point is, there's all manner of things that are good and for our benefit that is caught and it calls us to do, but so often we're unwilling to do them because of some other attachment or issue that we have in our life. It's one thing to be a hearer of God's word. Saul was a hearer of God's word. Saul heard from Samuel all the time. Saul was a hearer of God's word. It's another thing to be a doer. David, especially as we see in this text, was a doer. And the legacy of both men reflects this difference. When you've heard God warning you against sin or directing your steps in some way, have you listened? Like David, you may need to face an enemy that's bigger than you. Like Jonah, you may need to go to a place you don't want to go. Like Peter, you may need to soften hard edges on your character in order to be the Christian you're called to be. We who have heard God's word so often on these matters, how are we responding? Are we following through? It's one thing, again, for God to tell us. It's another thing for us to respond. How are we doing? You know, I don't know what you're facing this week, but whatever the Philistines are, whatever the Philistines are in your life, they're calling you, or God is calling you through them, to step out of your comfort zone in facing them, to step forward in your faith. That held true for David, not just here in 2 Samuel 5, but throughout David's life. Throughout David's life, circumstances regularly came before David that were bigger than he could handle. You know, there's the old saying that God will never give you more than you can bear. Wrong. Remember, we've talked about this before. The actual Bible verse is this: God will never allow you to be tempted beyond that which you can bear, and He'll always give you a way out. That is true. God will never allow you to be tempted beyond your ability to bear. But that's not what so many people paraphrase it to mean. So many times people paraphrase it to mean God will never give you more than you can handle. That's wrong. God will regularly, consistently give you more than you can handle, because it's only then that you're most likely to turn to Him. David was given more than he could handle, whether it was a 50-foot giant, or however tall Goliath was, whether it was an army of Philistines. All manner of things came up on David's plate that were bigger than David. All manner of things came up on Moses' plate or Paul's plate that were bigger than these godly forebears of the faith. If that was true of them, it's going to be true of you. You will be overwhelmed. Expect it. It is not an accident. And you're not lacking in God's favor when it happens. So much of the church tells other parts of the church that when bad things come up, it's not God's will that any of that should happen, that you're maybe just not being praying enough. You're not trying hard enough. This isn't the case. All manner of stuff's going to happen to men and women of the faith, no matter how mature they are or aren't. It is the way it is. Don't be surprised when this happens. Don't be surprised when you're overwhelmed. When it does occur, though, do this. When it does occur, bring the issue to the door of your Savior. Lay your burdens upon His shoulders. That is the call that we are given. And when He tells you, when He teaches you what you need to do about those burdens in response to them, pay attention and act accordingly. And when you act, when you follow through, you will find that the captain of your salvation will precede you in battle. The captain of your salvation will precede you in battle and what you're facing this week. That is the promise of Scripture, and that is the approach that David models for us in today's text. It's an approach that God calls us to respond with in relation to those Philistines that await us this week. Let's pray.
This has been a sermon by Pastor Toby Holt of Christ Presbyterian Church in Marietta, Georgia. If you would like to hear other sermons by Pastor Holt, please visit our website at www.christpca.org, or you can find us on sermonaudio.com.